produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
We're friends with God, aren't we? A lot of friendships in the house tonight.
Packing up the dreams God planted in the fertile soil of you. I can't believe the hopes He's granted. Means a chapter in your life is through. But we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone. 'Cause our hearts, in big and small ways, will keep the love that keeps us strong. It's hard to let you go. In the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. Lifetime's not too long to live as friends. No, a lifetime's not too long to live as friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and I'm looking forward to sharing our message today with you through our program here with Power Up Your Family. Now, as we all know, there's much going on in the world. There's a lot of distractions, a lot of things happening, and there's a lot of animosity and a lot of discord out in the world. And I was thinking about the sweet relationships that we can have in mortal life with family and with friends and with our Savior. And I wanted to talk today about the importance of having good friendships. Now, obviously, we all recognize that hopefully our spouse is our best friend, and that we enjoy being with our spouse. And I can certainly testify that I spend a significant portion of each and every day with my wife, and we laugh, we have fun, we work together. We just enjoy being together. It's just a wonderful time when we can be together. Now, we joke a little bit too about over the years, one of the poets wrote the words, "Absence makes the heart grow fonder." In fact, my wife, in giving me a picture, her senior picture, you know, the little wallet-sized pictures that she gave to me when we were dating, wrote those words on the back. I believe that's Emily Dickinson, but I'm probably mistaken in that. But the words are, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And so obviously, as we've had in the past, more times when we were away from each other, that truly was a correct axiom. But in our retirement years, we have the opportunity to spend a tremendous amount of time together, and we make the most of it, and we certainly enjoy being with each other. But I also wanted to talk about two other important areas of friendship. Of course, one of the significant friends that each of us should consider is our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some examples, for example, in the scriptures where we talk about friendships. For example, David and Jonathan. I'm sure we all remember them from the scriptures. And certainly we remember the relationship that they had. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to understand the dynamic of what was going on with Jonathan and with David. They had a friendship, but it came about as a result of a very unique situation, because who was Jonathan? He was the son of Saul, the king. And there was an interesting situation there, because Saul, when David, you know, killed Goliath, David became Saul's hero. And it all comes down to the fact that David and Jonathan became friends. And we might say that their friendship is at the core of what meaningful friendship looks like. Obviously, David and Jonathan were not Facebook friends. And, you know, I might have started off by asking, if you were asked how many friends you have, how would you answer? Some of us, that might prompt an answer of several hundred or more based on the number of Facebook friends we have. For others, that might prompt an answer, you know, just a few dozen based on the number of people we know and interact with on a regular basis. However, for others, that might prompt an answer of a handful based on the number of truly good friends we have. So really, it all comes down to how we define friend. People we know, people we see and like, people for which we care deeply. Not all friends are created equal. So back to David and Jonathan. Basically, they were two men who really hadn't interacted with each other on a regular basis. However, they were two men who loved one another and cared deeply for each other. David and Jonathan had a deep, meaningful friendship. Not only does the caliber of David and Jonathan's friendship stand out, but the way it developed does too. As I mentioned earlier, David became a star overnight after defeating Goliath, and at first King Saul latched onto this young hero. But as David's star continued its rise, Saul became proportionately jealous. But there was one other thing that kept going up along with David's fame and Saul's fury, and that was Jonathan's friendship with David. Now, keep in mind that Jonathan was Saul's son, as I mentioned, and was next in line for the throne. Easy to understand how Jonathan and David could have become friends originally when Saul still favored David, but it's harder to understand their friendship as David's fame grew, especially in light of Samuel's anointing of David as the future king. Jonathan had every reason to turn from David. His father's wrath was directed toward David. David was a threat to his future as king. It was dangerous to be friends with David. And yet, Jonathan's friendship with David continued to grow. Now, this story teaches us much about meaningful friendship, but is also It more importantly points us to the gospel. The son who set aside his standing with his father to intercede on behalf of the one under his father's wrath teaches us about the son who set aside his standing with his father to intercede on behalf of the ones under his father's wrath. You might say Jonathan points us to Jesus. Now, obviously, there are differences. The most glaring difference is Saul's wrath was placed on David for sinful reasons, while God's wrath was placed on people for right reasons. But at its core, this story helps us understand Jesus' friendship with us better. And I love how God was kind to provide it for us because Jesus, as our friend, adds so much beauty to the gospel. Jesus is our friend. Ponder that for a little while. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. Yes, Jesus is our Lord. But he is also our friend. That reminds us of the love he has for us. It reminds us of the personal relationship he has with us. It personalizes the gospel to a higher degree. Jesus is our friend. That is a truth we really want to embed in the heart of each of our children. As a parent, think about getting your children to understand this principle. Some of your kids may feel as if they don't have any friends. Others may wish they had better friends. And while we can go a long way to address these feelings by strengthening the community and friendship in our groups, what our kids really need is to know that Jesus is their friend, and he is the greatest friend they ever could have. Jonathan was a great friend to David, a fantastic friend, really. But even his friendship pales in comparison to Jesus' perfect friendship with us. Jesus is the friend who will never fail. He is the friend who will always be there. The friend who loves and cares in purity. Perfect friend. How have you experienced Jesus as your friend? This reminds me of an interaction I had with one of our return missionaries a number of years ago. After his return from his mission, he went through a period of courtship with a young lady and things didn't work out. And so he was a bit down in the dumps. And I remember talking to him one day and he said that he had kind of worked things out. I knew that he was close with his mother, but he said that he had been having good conversations with his best friend. And so I asked him, I said, you mean your mom? And he said, no, I'm talking about the Lord, Jesus Christ. Caught me off guard a little bit, but it impressed me with his understanding of who he could count on to be his best friend at a time that he needed to have that strength and that encouragement. So we've talked a little bit about David and Jonathan. And you know, in the scriptures in Samuel, we read about where 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him in that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So this was obviously Jonathan giving everything as a covenant commitment to his friend David. Well, there's another story that I'd like to share, and this one I guess comes from Greek mythology, and it's about two young men who were caught in a unique situation. The name of these two individuals was Damon and Pythias. So The Greek legend tells us about these two young men, Damon and Pythias, who exemplified true friendship. Pythias was unjustly accused of plotting against the king and was sentenced to die. He pleaded for a few days' freedom so he could arrange care for his family across the sea, promising to return before the day of his execution. Now, this king was very evil and very, very, very wicked. So suspicious that Pythias, was merely trying to escape his punishment, the king said he would allow Pythias to go only if he provided a substitute, someone who would be put to death if Pythias did not return in time. As the story was told and went on, Damon agreed to stand in his friend's place. Sure enough, days went by and Pythias didn't come back. The day of the execution arrived and Damon was marched to the palace. However, just then, a man was seen racing desperately through the crowd. It was Pythias, who fell into the embrace of his beloved friend. Exhausted, he explained that pirates had captured his ship and thrown him overboard. Terrified that this would mean Damon would die in his place, Pythias swam to shore and arrived just in time. The king was so astonished by this amazing display of devotion that he freed them both and begged to be the third member of that friendship. You know, in the Gospel of John, John 15:13, we read, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ, of course, was the exemplar of that. Friendships like this don't just happen. They are carefully built over a lifetime as we sacrifice our own interests, as we offer love with no strings attached, as we reach out during the hard times, as we remain loyal when it seems the rest of the world has turned away. To have a friend like Damon and Pythias is among life's greatest treasures. And the first step to having a friend like that is becoming a friend like that. I remember many times when I would have someone come into my office while serving as a bishop in our church. The individual would bemoan the fact that they didn't have any friends. And as we would talk, I would think of numerous other people who had a similar challenge. And so it came to me one day in the course of those conversations to simply suggest what we've just mentioned a moment ago. And I would recommend to the individual, I said, look around the chapel when you come to church and look for individuals that are sitting by themselves. And why don't you take it upon yourself to go sit by them and introduce yourself? In other words, you have a friend, be a friend. That counsel was well received by many. Some were skeptical, but it was interesting to see how friendships were formed and relationships blossomed and were ongoing as a result of that simple counsel for individuals that were lonely to find an individual or several individuals that they could become friends with. So let's think about our youth. You know, when we think about our youth, we become concerned because we know that peer group pressure is far more significant typically in the life of a young person than parental influence or influence from teachers or influence even maybe from church leaders. So how do we help our youth pick the right friends? I'd like to share some passages from a talk that was given by one of the apostles, member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Elder Ronald A. Rasbin gave a talk in 2016 entitled True Friendship. This was done at a church educational system fireside. Think for a moment what it means to you to know you have someone standing right by you, someone you can trust to be your friend on good days and bad, someone who values you and supports you even when the two of you are apart. Now he goes on to add, our most prized friend is Jesus Christ himself. Is there any greater assurance than his, quote, I will be on your right hand and on your left, and mine angels round about you to bear you up. That's a scripture quote from the Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 88. I will be on your right hand and on your left hand, and mine angels round about you to bear you up. So often, those angels round about are our friends. He says his message centers on the importance in each of our lives of righteous friendships. And in his youth, an inspired patriarch laid his hands on his head and by revelation opened up to him an understanding of his potential for who he really was and gave direction for his life, just as a patriarch has done for many of you who are listening. He said, I was told that I would not lack for friends and associates, that their friendship would be a special blessing to me, both temporally as well as spiritually. I was counseled to select for my closest friends those who were righteous and had a desire to keep the commandments of God. Close quote. Elder Raspin says that passage from his patriarchal blessing has been like a comfort blanket to him throughout his life. Quote, at times, especially while living away from home, those words have given me a peace and strength. My friends were standing by, and although separated by many miles, and at such times, I learned one of life's most important lessons, that no matter how long I was away, no matter how great the distance, whenever my friends and I met again, it was as if nothing had changed. We picked up our lives where we left off, and it was as if time had stood still. So he suggests choose good friends. Quote, why do I emphasize that? Because in today's world, so many people willingly trade those friendships for video characters and quick text messages. They spend their time identifying with television personalities who for them are only faces on a screen. Think about it. True friendships are based on love of God and sharing that love with others. Elder Raspin goes on to say, from my earliest days growing up in the Cottonwood Stake in the Salt Lake Valley, friends have been a special blessing to me. The closest friends made in my youth remain my friends to this day. We have always been there for each other, and I have been grateful to make new friends who have been a strength and blessing to me as well. He goes on to say, when I think of friendship, I think of the example of Thomas S. Monson, who served as president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Consider this teaching of our beloved prophet. He said, quote, friends help to determine your future. You will tend to be like them and to be found where they choose to go. Remember, the path we follow in this life leads to the path we follow in the next. In a survey made in selected wards and stakes of the church, we learned a most significant fact. Those persons whose friends married in the temple usually married in the temple, while those persons whose friends did not marry in the temple usually did not marry in the temple. The same fact pertained also to full-time missionary service. The influence of one's friends appeared to be a highly dominant factor, even equal to parental urging, classroom instruction, or proximity to a temple. The friends you choose will either help or hinder your success. Those are pretty sobering words from a prophet of God. Now, when a group of missionaries was asked to identify one of President Monson's greatest attributes, almost all chose his love for people. One even suggested he wished he could live next door to the prophet because he knew they would then become good friends. Elder Rasband suggests to us, be good friends. Quote, it would be difficult to exaggerate the importance of being good friends. Becoming such friends is not always easy. Ralph Waldo Emerson gave great counsel when he observed, quote, the only way to have a friend is to be one, close quote. Sound familiar? And the old cliche, birds of a feather flock together, is still true. To have friends who live high standards, who stand for virtue and goodness, who are faithful and true to their covenants, you must be such a person to them. In this world where there is so much sleaze, permissiveness, and immorality, having good friends will go a long way in assuring our ability to withstand the evils of this, our day. Having good friends will put you in a position to attract the kind of eternal companion you will hope to find. He goes on to reemphasize what I shared earlier, which is Jesus Christ is our example. It was the Savior who said to his disciples, ye are my friends. It was the Savior who taught, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It was the Savior who beckoned, come unto me. In friendship, as in every other principle of the gospel, Jesus Christ is our exemplar. He concludes by saying to this group of youth, now, my dear young friends, I bear my testimony to you at this time that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bear witness that a very important element of your experience in the gospel is the friends you make and the mentors you follow. Just as I was promised in my patriarchal blessing at 19 years of age. I pray that each of us will have the privilege of enjoying righteous friendships and mentoring relationships as we grow together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wise counsel from an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what might we say in regards to friendship? You know, as I've thought about my personal friendships over the years, I remember when we first moved to Memphis in 1984, that within, I guess it was about four years later, I first met an African-American gentleman by the name of Bruce Lee Williams, and we became business associates. And over the years, our bond of friendship has been cemented not only by our having been business partners, but our shared faith in Jesus Christ and his mandate to love and serve one another. So I give a shout out to my friend Bruce Lee Williams, who all these years later, we are still friends. We can go for extended periods of time and not talk in a text message or a phone call, and it's just like it was yesterday we were talking. As I think about another friend, on Mother's Day of 2007, while serving as the bishop in the Memphis First Ward of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I met another African-American gentleman by the name of Dennis Pegues. He was a member of our faith who lived in Utah and was visiting in Memphis to see his mother. Many, many wonderful experiences ensued in developing a friendship. We immediately became friends, enjoying road trips to and from Utah, serving together in the church, and sharing choice spiritual experiences together. So once again, a great shout out and thank you to my dear friend, Dennis Pegues of Pleasant Grove, Utah. Now, over the years, it has been a choice experience as we have worked with the young men and the young women who have served as missionaries here in the Arkansas Little Rock Mission, which encompasses West Tennessee, North Mississippi, and the central and eastern portions of the state of Arkansas, and even a little bit of the Boot Hill of Missouri. but now includes down to Tupelo, Mississippi. In working with these young men and young women, certain individuals, relationships developed and friendships ensued that have gone way beyond their service here in the mission. Some of those friendships result in frequent contact, phone conversations, text messages, and other messaging back and forth, in some instances almost on a daily basis. So I am thankful for those many friendships and relationships that have ensued. And in some instances, even the parents of those individuals we've become great friends with. And in fact, almost every trip I make to Utah, it's a great privilege to be able to go over to Pleasant Grove, Utah, to visit with the Monson family. Just an amazing family. We love the Monsons. Their son, Stephen, served as a great missionary here. And as we were able to attend his temple ceiling and to observe the growth of his family and his wonderful parents and siblings, just a fantastic family. We love our visits with them. In our last trip out to Utah back in September of this last year, we were able to have another visit with some dear friends that we met back in our early days in the church in Louisville, Kentucky, Rob and Linda Slater. We had a wonderful dinner out and got to catch up on our days in the early days in the church in Louisville and what life has brought into our lives over the years since. They are an extraordinary couple who continually serve the Lord and others. I could go on and on about friends, but I want to finish with one last friendship. As a teenager, I developed a friendship with a young man by the name of Earl Thomas Scott, who affectionately, his nickname was T, T-double-E. And so as one travels through this mortal experience, we come in contact with many people along the way. Most are passing acquaintances. Some are friends for a season, and then a few become lifelong friends. Earl Thomas Scott Jr., better known as T, was one of those dear lifelong friends. We knew each other as teenagers. We were involved in a Masonic youth organization. We had road trips. I remember even going all the way up to Washington, D.C. together to a special political forum that we attended. Many hours playing Risk together. Those were the early days of where I learned to play the game Risk. And even though when the time came, and by the way, he was in our wedding and I was in his wedding to his wife, with his wife. And so that friendship was very solid and very strong. Now, as time went on, we both moved from Louisville. He initially went to Danville and then ultimately to Georgia and then on to Florida as a school teacher, along as well as his wife. And I had noticed that, I think it was back in 2008, we had a brief reunion when we attended his daughter's graduation from Harding University over in Searcy, Arkansas. But we had gone for almost 10 years without much contact. And I remember early in the year of 2018, I felt impressed to reach out to T. And we started having text messages and then phone conversations and started renewing our friendship. And it was great to have that. And back in the summer of 2018, their daughter in Searcy had a new baby boy. And T and Nita were able to travel to Searcy and spend some time with their family there. And then toward the end of August, T contacted me to say that he was going to be coming back to Searcy to spend some time there helping with some daycare provisions for the new baby. And then he was flying into Memphis because his son-in-law was going to bring his 4-year-old granddaughter over to have a special day at the Memphis Zoo. And she wasn't going to know until she got there that Grandpa T was going to be there. And so I picked T up on at the airport on Friday, August the 31st, 2018. We enjoyed a nice dinner out with my wife. The next morning, we had a wonderful home-cooked breakfast. And we reminisced and talked an awful lot about past experiences. I mentioned something about the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which he quickly stated that his favorite Tabernacle Choir song was called Going Home, which I found to be significant later on when I share with you what happened. So after a wonderful breakfast on Saturday morning, and by the way, while we were together, it was a dueling showing of pictures, his pictures of his granddaughter and our showing daughter pictures of our granddaughter. You could definitely tell that this granddaughter was the apple of his eye. When we met up tried to meet up with his son-in-law at the Memphis Zoo, there was a little miscommunication. And so as we were outside trying to get tea into the zoo parking area, one of the zoo employees just happened up on his golf cart and agreed to take tea to meet his family. Now, interestingly enough, as we were saying goodbye, I had a strong impression to grab my phone and to take a picture of him. As he was about to get on the cart, he was waving, and I remember my last words to him were, "God bless." Well, as circumstance would have it, within just a few minutes after T entered the zoo with his son-in-law and very happy granddaughter, he experienced a massive heart attack, and after over an hour's worth of effort by the medical staff, they were unsuccessful in reviving him. Now, there's more to this story. But just suffice it to say, when the family saw this picture, this very last picture of their loved one, it was a tender, tender experience for them to be able to have that memento. And so I acknowledge that prompting no doubt came from the Holy Spirit, and that I remember months later as we attended his memorial service where I was asked to speak, I noticed they had a huge blow-up of that picture on an easel standing there in front of the little memorial table. And it was a tender sight to see. I want to just suggest to you that there's a great song by Michael W. Smith that I grew very fond of years ago. And hopefully you'll hear that song either in the opening of this program or video that you'll see of it. But it's called "Friends Are Friends Forever If the Lord Is Their Lord." Listen to that song. There's some great lyrics to it. And I testify to you that I know that Jesus Christ is our ultimate friend, our best, most significant friend, that our spouses should be our second best friend. And if we're fortunate to have true friends, then by George, let's make sure we keep those relationships strong, that we contribute to those friendships, and that we never, ever lose those relationships. I testify of these simple truths in the sacred and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.